I not only want to share how I first came to know Jesus, but how I continually rest in the grace of Jesus Christ. From 8 to 10 years old, I suffered from nightmares where I was dirty, nightmares where I was being chased. One morning, I finally got the courage to share with my mother what had been happening in my dreams. I shared with her the truth that I had been sexually abused by my babysitter's middle-aged school son. She was absolutely shocked and destroyed on the inside, but my mom remained as calm as the night. She just listened to me. She didn't ask any questions. She just listened. Little did I know that she had just recently become a Christian. Isn't it funny how the Lord works? Would she have been prepared for this conversation had she have not received the Lord mere months before? Would she have been able to contain her outrage? I will never forget the grace my mom shared with me that day. She explained that no matter what happened to me, I was clean. I was clean even if the world was dirty, because Jesus Christ offered grace through salvation for me and for all sinners. She explained that because God sent his son, Jesus, for all of us, we could be saved by accepting him as our Lord and Savior. I accepted Jesus as my Savior that very day. Over the next 10 years, I would explore my faith. I would pray and I would learn scriptures and I would engage in my church community. I was baptized at age 17. When I was 18, I ran into that boy who had abused me and his mother at a friend's church. The mother started crying. She ran over and she hugged me. I was extremely uncomfortable. But when the young man approached me, it was like he was suddenly a 5-year-old boy that I wanted to hug and to comfort. It was the oddest feeling. The only way I can explain it to another human is that my whole spirit was suddenly not my own. Jesus inside me had grace for that young boy, and I held no quarrel against him. That is God's grace and forgiveness, not my own. The mother and my own mom had a separate conversation, and they shared testimonies. It turns out that the mother's ex-husband had sexually abused the young boy for many years. He recently had died in prison. She was able to forgive him because she had come to know Jesus from a women's group at this church. The boy, too, had become saved, and the Lord had covered him with goodness and hope to lead a lovely life. He was getting married the next summer. Again, I'm in amazement at the power of Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit to bridge a relationship that you can imagine could have held anger, pain, and resentment for many years to come. But through Jesus, we all share the same pain, but something greater, Christ's salvation and a future inheritance in heaven. My faith continued. A silversmith was asked, "How do you know when silver is pure?" He answered, "When I see my reflection in it." I am continuously seeking to see the reflection of Christ in my own life. The most difficult part of my walk with Christ was the person who introduced my mother and me to Jesus, my dad. My dad was a witness to faith in Jesus by merely listening without casting judgment. He kept faith simple, and he reminded me often that the earth was only temporary and heaven is our ultimate home. He has a way with him that brings peace to any situation. Sophomore year of college, I had had my heart ripped in two. Dating a gentleman of a similar faith, I relied on him and trusted his every word. I was disappointed when drugs and sex were introduced, what I thought was my forever. The only person I turned to when I thought my collegiate career was over was my dad. After I told him everything horrible, nasty, and awful that I had done over the past 2 years that I thought were fulfilling me but were not, he just shrugged. I remember this response because it was so full of emptiness. It was less than saying something. But he said, "I guess you've learned that God is all you need because he's all you can depend on." Startled, I reflected and realized he was referencing a scripture. 2 Corinthians 1:9 says, "We felt we were doomed to die and saw how powerless we were to help ourselves, but that was good, for then we put everything into the hands of God who alone could save us." After re-centralizing my faith on Christ, I joined a women's Bible study, I got a mentor, and I focused on building a relationship and community at Dartmouth College. As you all know, 2 years later, I would be blessed to befriend and date a man named Peter Hill who wouldn't try to fulfill me but would support me in putting my whole self towards Christ. The Lord provides and knows exactly what we need. He gives us what we don't deserve. You can imagine how much I love and I respect my dad as I tell you the wisdom and influence he's had on my life. Most of you also know in this church that my dad is addicted to prescription medication that has led to heroin and opiate abuse. And I did a forced intervention in 2015 that has led to years of struggle, anger, and broken relationships. As he overcomes one addiction, he suffers a diabetic amputation. Another moment of grace, his body is subject to heart failure. I could be sad all the time, but I have what Shan was able to articulate from Christ to me as a child. This world is temporary. It is your faith that will last forever. 1 Peter 1:7 says, "These troubles come to prove that your faith is pure. The purity of faith is worth more than gold." Romans 8:28-29 says, "We know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them. For God knew his people in advance, and he chose them to become like his son." Like I said last week, I'd like to leave you with three thoughts from my testimony. One, problems force us to look to God and depend on him instead of ourselves. Your circumstances are temporary, but your character and your faith will last forever. And three, I encourage you to build someone else up because we share the same salvation, the same life, and the same future. Thank you.